The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, and welcome back to Afternoons with Mike. Heard daily here on the Shepherd Radio Network. Just flew in late last night from Kentucky. My brain is still a little in the foggy side, so we're going to make it through. And that's going to be easily done because I have a delightful couple sitting in front of me, Daryl and Marilyn Copenhaver. They are the founders of something called The Table Florida. Now, at the table, here's their phrase on their brochure. At the table, we eat abundantly, share our hearts, and love like Jesus. That is a beautiful statement. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
This is really neat. Now, one of our coworkers in this building, Patty, came up and told me she wanted had an idea for an interview, and it was this delightful couple that she had, I guess, served as a volunteer at the table. Mm-hmm. And it was so meaningful to her. She said, "I cried all the way home," and that was pretty neat to hear how that an experience of coming and volunteering for. I guess you're a nonprofit. Would that be right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Anytime you volunteer for a nonprofit, I mean, I've done that dozens of times. Can't think of a time I've cried all the way home. So she was really touched and impacted by not only that ministry, but by the two of you, and really spoke highly of you. So I'm very grateful that Patty brought us together.
Thank you very much.
So tell us a little bit about you. Let's start with you, Daryl. Where did you grow up, and how did you make your way to Florida if you were born and raised someplace else?
Well, I was born someplace else, and I made my way to Florida when I was about 6 months old.
Oh, so you've been here all your life, practically.
Yeah, so I grew up in the East Winter Park, Goldenrod area. A little house in Winter Park Estates, back when 436 was a two-lane road.
Yeah.
And the woods from Ocala went right to my back door.
Oh, isn't that something?
So, we're serving in the area and that I grew up in. So it's part of my heart. Went to school at Lakemont Elementary and Winter Park Middle School or Junior High School back in those days, mm-hmm, which doesn't exist. And then Winter Park High School. Have spent blessedly most of my life right there in the same area.
Isn't that something? You never moved to another region or whatever?
Just to go to college in Gainesville. So,
Went to UF?
Yeah, I'm a UF grad.
Go Gator.
Class of 1980.
That's right. Go Gators. That's awesome. That's really great. I spent 17 years up there.
Wow.
As a pastor in one of the churches up in that area. So that's really wonderful. Now, you know, it would really be difficult, I think, for people who visit our fine city in Orlando to look at, if they drive through Winter Park, it's such a beautiful area at Winter Park, and the Park Avenue is just one of those, you got to go and you got to do that if you've never done it. But people would have a hard time, wouldn't they? They'd have a hard time getting their brain around what Winter Park, what Central Florida used to be like prior to the 70s. They'd have a hard time even imagining it.
I think so. I mean, like I say, it was pretty rural when I grew up in East Winter Park, where Full Sail University is. That used to be a vacant lot, which is where one of my Boy Scout leaders taught us all how to shoot a rifle.
Because there
was a big drainage ditch. That meant there were big piles of dirt from when they dug that ditch. So very different time.
Yeah, very different times. It looked like a very different place. But, you know, that's what happens. And now even when we moved back after being gone 17 years, we moved back and we were shocked at how much the Central Florida Orlando area had changed even in 17 years. So that evolution is still going on. But it is really neat that you grew up here and only for college. And then you came back. And that's really great. So what would be some of your most favorite memories? You mentioned Boy Scouts. What else in your mind, when you look back, what is it that you just really are thankful that you got to do that?
Oh, You know, there's a couple of things that jumped my mind. One is the church, Redeemer Lutheran, that my parents helped found. I remember being there when they were building the sanctuary and collecting scraps of wood.
Oh, really?
Interesting enough, I did the same thing at the church that Marilyn and I met at Aloma Methodist. When they built that sanctuary, I collected scraps of wood because that was in my backyard.
Are you a wood worker?
I do dabble in woodworking, but I think it was just more of an attachment thing.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when we cleaned up my mom's house, a scrap of wood from the building of Redeemer Lutheran Sanctuary was in the garage that didn't get saved anymore. It went in the dumpster.
Oh, yeah, right.
But going in the woods, you know, seeing deer tracks, out my backyard,
right.
Building a fort in the woods with my friends.
Yeah.
You know, just great memories, being able to ride my bike down to Winter Park proper and see a friend who his parents or his family home is still there with his sister in it.
Yeah.
But
so great that you got to do those things.
Yeah.
I think kids today, they have no idea how cool our background was and what our life was like before the internet, before tablets, before screens.
Yeah, but you know, it's a great place to grow up, and quite frankly, it's still a great place for Marilyn and I to serve together with a lot of friends there in the Goldenrod area.
That's great. Well, let's jump to Marilyn. Marilyn, where were you born? Where did you grow up? How did you get to Orlando?
Well, I was born and raised in Columbus, Ohio.
All right.
And I'm first generation in my family. My parents are from Northern Ireland. And when I was a senior in high school, I wanted to do something different. So I moved to Florida. My cousin lived in Winter Park. She had recently told me, given me an invitation to come to Florida. She would give me a job, let me live with her in her house. And I said,
that sounds
sold.
Good.
I'm going.
Sounds good.
I'm going. So the first week of August, the summer after I graduated from high school, I moved to Florida, and it was hot.
Oh, yeah.
It was very hot. I told my parents, I'm going to go down for a couple years, go to college, come back, and then we'll see what I can do. Well, at the two-year mark, I decided I wasn't ready to go home.
I get it.
I kind of got to where I really enjoyed the Florida life.
Yeah.
So I was going
your
to college.
Your blood turned to orange juice.
Almost, yes. as I was going to college and working, I would go over to Cocoa Beach on Sundays and sit on that beach with that wind blowing and doing my homework. And that was delightful.
Yeah.
So that's how I got down here, and I haven't moved away.
You know, I think that is such a beautiful story of the romance of getting to go to the beach and getting to do things like that. I love reading books that kind of take you there in the literary sense, where you're reading about that, because unless you've really done it, though, you really can't appreciate just how cool that is.
Yes, yeah.
And you got to experience it.
Yes, yes, loved it.
Yeah, that's great. And so you never went back either then? You kind of stayed right there?
I did. I never thought I would stay right here in this area all these years. Have enjoyed traveling to other places, but we've stayed put.
Well, that's wonderful. Daryl, you mentioned that you're part of the Lutheran Church. That's where you grew up. How did you come to know the Lord from the standpoint of knowing him personally and having a relationship with him?
Well, it's kind of interesting. So I stopped going to the Lutheran Church. My family had a little change when I was in elementary school, and by the time I was in high school and in Boy Scouts and wanting to be an Eagle Scout, and
all right.
I wasn't going to church regularly or at all, quite frankly, at that time in my life. My best friend's dad was our scoutmaster, and he gave me a challenge. He said, Daryl, if you want to be an Eagle Scout, you need a reference from a pastor. He goes, a scout is reverent, and we want to see that too. I said, okay. And he goes, so I'm going to give you two options. He goes, go to a church, meet the pastor, get to know him well enough that he'll write you a letter of recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can lead the Sunday service at every camp out for the next 6 months. I thought sitting in the back of a pew would be a lot easier.
Aha. Uh-huh. So and that's what you did.
Loma Methodist, which eventually is where Marilyn and I met, was right behind my house. So I walked there, sat in the back, and quite frankly, met some people who accepted me as I was. Not very nice, not mm-hmm. great, and introduced me to Jesus.
Wow.
And through that relationship and acceptance and kindness, I saw what maybe organized church didn't yeah. give. And so, you know, my junior year in high school, when I was just 17, I accepted Christ at a nighttime service. And I never thought I'd go to a nighttime church, but you know, my peers in high school who were part of that youth group and part of that church and invited me, and then the world changed. Interesting enough, that Christmas, my dad gave me a reference Bible because he saw that my life had changed and had been put on a new path.
Wow. He
could see the difference.
Yeah. That's the gospel at work right there. And, you know, if we could, just for a moment, I want to grab a hold of what you talked about, the accepting you as you were when you came in that door and not having to kind of scrub yourself clean, not having to live up to some expectation. But the importance that I believe God wants all of us to really walk after is loving people more than just accepting people, loving them. And what I mean by accepting them, kind of like making them conform into your way of thinking or whatever, but just generally putting it out there, loving people. That's exactly what happened to you.
Exactly. And quite frankly, I think that's one of the reasons that Merrill and I had this passion to start the table with a bunch of friends, that who's going to want to know Jesus
yeah.
if the people who represent him aren't accepting them as a creation of God?
Yeah.
Not perfect, but welcome.
When you think back to that encounter, maybe it was over a couple of Sundays or whatever, but is there a particular fond memory about how someone treated you or something that they said to you?
You know, I think it was the fact that even though, you know, some of my high school or scouting friends who saw me as, like I said, not a great guy, right? That they never looked down on me. They talked to me as an equal. They wanted to know me more. And that broke a barrier in my heart.
Yeah. Took real interest in you.
Yeah.
That's really great. How about you, Marilyn? What's your first memories of a relationship with Jesus?
Well, although I grew up going to church most Sundays, and I come from a family of churchgoers, it wasn't until I was about 20, and I was living in Florida at the time, that I was invited to church with a friend, and I went, and not knowing that afterwards, after the church service, we were staying for Sunday school. Unfortunately, I had ridden with her, so I didn't have a way of escape.
You didn't have a way out. That's right.
So we went to Sunday school, and in that room filled with college and career age folks just like me, about 30 or 40 of them.
Wow.
So it was a big group. I experienced a joy and a welcomeness and also an acceptance into their world. And that was the beginning of God working in my heart, softening my heart to really hear and understand the gospel message.
Wow.
Now, I am sure in 20 years going to church most Sundays, I had heard it before, but it never hit me in my heart.
Yeah, that's the difference.
And that was the difference.
Yeah.
So I began going to church and Sunday school with my friend Sharon, meeting more folks and having fun and hearing some great messages and teachings. And within about 2 months, I surrendered myself to Jesus, yeah. accepted him as my Lord and Savior. And that period of time and that group of folks, which Daryl was a part of, but I didn't know him very well because he was off to college and he was only back on school breaks. And so we really didn't get to know each other. But that group, some of those folks are still our very good friends today.
That's great.
And I grew in the Lord, and I can really attribute my Christian growth to those years, those early years.
Formative years. And I think all of us need to look back and think in our own lives. Those that are listening to you talk, they need to remember. And I think it's so good to kind of in our minds memorialize those years and say to God, thank you for them. Because these pillars of memory and formative change and all of the meaningful impacts that people, like what you had in that group, that's very important. And not only is it important for us to remember and relish in our own hearts, but it's important for us then to do the same to other people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you're doing at the table. You're giving opportunity for the Spirit of God to move on people's hearts.
Absolutely.
That's right.
And I think that's such a wonderful thing. And I love the fact that you guys are plugged in at church together with my dear friend, Andy Searles. And I know that it's not like a lot of people, when they're involved in a ministry like a nonprofit, they'll give their whole to that. But I love the fact that you use what you're doing for the auspices of the Lord in the name of the Lord, with an eye to the local church. And I think that's so important too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, the table, when was it founded?
Officially founded in 2019. We started conceiving the idea in 2018 and studying and learning on a different way to do church, which turned out to be the original and oldest way to do church. In early 2019, a small group of people volunteered together, and we trained together, and we conceived. And 5 years ago, this month, we had our first public gathering at the Goldenrod Civic Club.
So the idea, and we're going to get more into this in our next segment, but the idea behind the table, what makes it so different to anything I've seen before, it's not just a food service. It is really more a relationship service than. It's more of giving people a place where they can bring someone, join with them, and put them in an atmosphere that can change their lives.
Absolutely. One of our newest slogans is changing lives through sharing meals together. You know, at sitting down at a dinner table, that you've gotten a beautiful, bountiful meal that's been made by cooks that are part of the service team, the serving team, the volunteers. And I could be sitting across the table from you, Mike, or I could be sitting across the table from someone who is trying to pay their power bill, or sitting beside the table by someone who slept on a park bench.
Right.
And
the whole range.
And everybody is equal. There's no us, there's no them. There's just individuals sitting down, enjoying a good meal, listening to some live music playing.
That's another thing. We'll talk about that in the next segment. My guests, Daryl and Marilyn Copenhaver from The Table, and we'll have more details about that. Want to whet your appetite for hearing those details, because my friends are pretty cool. We'll be back in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike.
If you're a Christian business person and you want to meet people who want to do business with you, you need to join the Central Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce. Why? Because the mission of the Christian Chamber is to build kingdom, business, and community. And it all starts with the Christian principle of building relationships. To learn more about the Christian Chamber and all the different ways you can get engaged with hundreds of other Central Florida Christian business people, visit cfchristianchamber.com. Or call 407-258-3578.
Sitting here today with my guests, Marilyn and Daryl Copenhaver, they have this most wonderful concept of hospitality, of sharing food, of meeting people, of listening to people, of giving people an opportunity to have their lives changed in their very midst, all while enjoying food. You know, we think about that, Daryl, you mentioned one of the oldest forms of church, if you will, is that from Acts chapter 2, where it says the believers shared everything in common. They met in houses. They broke bread together. So we know that eating, and isn't it interesting that eating is going to be part of some of the most memorable events in heaven? I mean, the marriage supper of the Lamb that is coming, there's food there. Thank God there's going to be food in heaven. What you're doing here is a little precursor. It's a prep for that.
Well, you know, I think that's a great way to put it. It is. We really, as we looked at this and created this model to reach our community with the help of others. So we're right. Also part of the Greater Dinner Church Collective, which is a way to revive the Agape Feast or the early church.
I didn't even know there was such a thing as that.
Yeah.
What is the title of that again?
The Dinner Church Collective.
The Dinner Church Collective. Now I'm going to have to research that one myself and find out about it.
But it's interesting, right? Everything that Jesus did as he walked revolved around conversation and meals.
Yeah, the Last Supper.
And they go together, right? Meeting at Levi's house, right?
Yeah.
Matthew Levi, right? A giant feast.
Right.
Meeting with Nicodemus when he comes down. They go to his house to have dinner, and his life is changed because they spend hours together while the meal is prepped and eaten and discussed.
Yeah, you're making me hungry right now, man.
So, goodness. Conversation is natural around a table.
Yeah, it is.
Marilyn likes the analogy of family dinners. Mm-hmm. Marilyn, you want to jump with that?
Yeah. Imagine a family Thanksgiving feast.
Oh, yeah.
And all the families together, and there's a lot of noise and chaos and laughter and joy and people helping in the kitchen and people helping with the kids. And so it's that happy chaos that we welcome at the table.
You know, I think that people who don't have that kind of a family background where they experience what you just said, they, again, have a hard time. I think that's part of the wonderful benefit of having a nuclear family, of having a childhood that you've grown up around that family table, and you remember the joy. Our kids will tell you to this day how much they enjoyed the meals that we all shared, because I made it a point to try to be at home for the evening meals. I'd miss some of them, but not a lot of them. And the time around that table, wow, some of our best talks, some of our best memories, some of the very best laughter that our family could have ever imagined happened as one by one our four kids sitting around the table would talk.
Right.
That's exactly what I believe was happening in the early church, and that's what God wants to see have happen today. Now, this is something that happens. It's a free community dinner. And it is in Orlando on Thursdays from 6 to 7. So it's just basically 1 hour then.
Right. In Winter Park, East Winter Park.
Yes. Did I say Goldenrod?
You said Orlando. But that's
Orlando.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah.
Close.
The Orlando
close.
Area, but it is in Winter Park specifically at the Goldenrod Civic Club. Mm-hmm. And that is at 4763 North Palmetto Avenue in Winter Park. Mm-hmm. And what you can expect, again, we've heard this, but they offer a home-cooked meal, some live music. Let's tell us about the live music a little bit.
Well, we have a number of wonderful musicians that take turns on Thursday evenings. And for about 45 minutes, they share some worshipful music. It's not a performance. It's kind of background music, but the intent is for it to be worshipful and to welcome in the presence of the Holy Spirit into that space. So sometimes people will sing along, but not normally. The conversation goes on, and you can feel God's presence in our midst through the music, and which spurs on conversations.
That reminds me of the coffee houses of the 70s.
Sure, yeah.
That's very much what happened back then.
Exactly, yeah.
And they'd have some acoustic guitar player, a guy like me. It's what I did. Back in the days, there was a coffee house called the Sunrise Inn that I used to play at in Evansville, Indiana. Yeah. And it was a delightful thing. People, you know, more like a restaurant where you would come, and there's a stage there, and there's always music going, but rarely ever was it like, it was never like a concert really, but it was just eating, having friends, discussions, listening to that music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have guitarists, keyboardists, a flautist, singers. It's usually one or two people, and from different styles of music, and people love it.
That sounds like so much fun. And I'm wanting to get out there as we've talked and great. And join you as a guitarist. I would love that.
That'd be great.
And we would love it too.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited about it. And that is again on Thursday nights, and the hour is from 6 to 7. Mm-hmm. I believe there it is right there. And this place where you meet, the Goldenrod Civic Club, tell us a little bit about that. What is it like?
Well, it's a little unassuming building. It's about 60 years old, and it's just perfect for us. We average about 60 people a week, sometimes a few less, a few more.
Mm-hmm.
We've always have new people joining us as well. So we welcome everybody.
Let's go back to night one, if we can.
Okay.
What was it like? What was the talk about at the end of that evening when you were done and the guests that were leaving, they left, and those volunteers and you, they're like, what just happened here? What was the talk that night?
Now you're straining our memories. 5 years ago.
Well, I will say that we had absolutely no idea who would walk through those doors. We had no inkling. We had been out in the neighborhoods, shopping centers, giving out little flyers, inviting folks, but we really had no idea who might come.
You had no RSVP or anything?
No, not at all.
Wow.
So we had about 35 people.
Wow.
The first night, including probably about 15 to 16 were volunteers. And folks came in from all walks of life.
Were you ready for that many people?
We were. I think we planned
for 40 to 50 meals.
How good of God to not give you like 80 people show up then.
But I think, you know, at the end of the night, I think the biggest thing is why didn't we listen to God earlier to do something like this?
That is so good.
Yeah.
Not in a condemning way, but just because it is.
Just because.
It's so good.
So many people who came in were not people who went to church someplace else. They saw the A-frame sign and said, yeah, I'll show up for a free meal.
Yeah.
They saw the little card on the table that said, there will be a story about Jesus. And they stayed for it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And, you know, quite a few of the people said, is this going to be like every week or is this every now and then? And we said, no, our plan is every week.
You do this 52 weeks a year.
On every Thursday except Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have have Thanksgiving Friday.
Oh, you do it on Friday then. Mm-hmm. So it is still every week.
Yeah. So every week, but
yeah,
you know, we miss that one Thursday and people look forward to Thanksgiving Friday.
Yeah, that's right. Because they're also tired from shopping all day long, right? That's not so true anymore though.
Not so true.
People do their Black Friday shopping online, so they do it in their pajamas.
Yeah. And so, you know, as we, you know, look back at that first night and being surprised of how many people did come, and Marilyn mentioned it a minute ago, we're surprised that after 5 years, we can count on one hand how many nights someone knew did not come.
Wow. Wow.
I mean,
that's success then after 5 years of every week.
At least somebody new will come in the door.
Yeah.
They may not come every week after that. And interesting enough, just a couple of weeks ago, we had a brand new person come in who asked to be one of the volunteer team members. And when we interviewed George and talked to him about what he wanted to do, we asked, you know, how did you find out? I said, well, you know, I ride my bike on the trail and I talk to some of the people who hang out on the trail. And he goes, and for the last year or so, they tell me every week, You ought to come on Thursday night. You ought to come on Thursday night. You ought to come on Thursday night.
Yeah. And that's what they hear.
They hear the voice of God.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't recognize it. But
that's right.
I think everybody in the area is hearing the voice of God and coming to this, what we call a place of peace.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned there's a talk about the Lord. Who gives that? What's that like?
Well, I am one of the speakers. We have a team of three people. We rotate around.
Mm-hmm.
We only talk about Jesus. We do all of our stories from the four Gospels. We are focused on the relationship Jesus had with people face to face.
Yeah.
And actually, when we were training and learning about this style, one thing that came through from the pastor who was training us out of Seattle, he said, not a lot of people have an argument about Jesus. A lot of people have an argument about church and religion. And he goes, so we want to just get to the core of the good news.
That's something. That's great. And staying on focus with that great news, there's no other news like that. The Gospels, I think that's a beautiful roadmap. Using the four Gospels, how long is that talk normally going on?
The talk usually lasts 7 to 10 minutes, and we have a handout on the table at each place setting that has the scripture written out that the speaker is referring to,
mm-hmm.
And then some discussion questions.
Around the table then,
yes.
So they get to talk about
so
it.
So afterwards, it's encouraged, not required, but we encourage folks to look at those questions. Talk about what you just heard. How
yeah.
does it apply to you? What have you learned? Do you see yourself in this story? Or which character do you identify with?
Yeah.
And some really great conversations begin
mm-hmm.
around the table. Now, there are some that choose not to. Take part in that. Sometimes another topic will come up that is burning on their hearts,
mm-hmm.
and we just go with the flow. If that's where what you need help with, then let's talk about that. Let's explore that. But the conversations are key and very life-changing.
Mm-hmm. Now, most people that I talk with on this program would feel the same, that right now, 2024, the culture in America is at its one of its most challenging times. It seems that we are as a people more divided than at any time in our lifetime, really. I mean, I go back, and I think it's worse now than it was in the 60s when I was just a young man and, you know, all of the civil rights unrest that was happening back then. I would have thought we were way beyond some of those kinds of troubles, but we've somehow found our way back into some serious hot water here in this country. Since you've been doing it for 5 years, some of these dire times have happened the last couple of years. What was it like? What are the differences? Let's put it that way. What are the differences from when you began to what you're seeing happen now? Are there any differences?
I'd say there's very few differences. We have one rule at the table, keep the peace of the room. And with that just overriding fact that the Holy Spirit will bring a peaceful attitude and you come in the room and it is a place of peace.
Mm-hmm.
It is amazing that, you know, at a street corner, there may be an argument
yeah.
between two people and they will come through the door and they'll eat dinner together in peace.
Do people ever bring up things that would be maybe an invitation to get into a tangle?
You know, there's been sometimes out on the street or mm-hmm. you know, in the parking lot where people have an argument. And interesting enough, about a year ago, a gentleman who's been with us most of these 5 years, he came up to me and he said, Daryl, I don't think I can be peaceful tonight. He goes, in fact, I don't even think I can be peaceful enough to go in and get a takeout meal. Would you send somebody in to get a takeout meal and maybe talk to me outside?
Wow. There's that much respect for the peace inside that room.
It is so powerful
wow.
to not add rules, but just to stay with the simpleness of the love and respect for each other that God has given us.
And I hope there's enough intrigue from those listening that they're going to have to say, I got to go check this thing out. I've never seen anything like this. This sounds really great. That's beautiful.
It is very unique. The diversity in that room is incredible. It's the most diverse group, community of faith that I have ever experienced. Yeah.
Now, we've mentioned already in the previous segment that you guys are part of Church Together with Andy mm-hmm. Searles. Are all of the volunteers from there, or do you have them across the board?
I think the last count, we have volunteers that come from about 16 or 17 different congregations in the area.
That's wonderful. Wow. So it is really across, it's multi-church involvement then, and it really is representative of the kingdom of God because you're pulling mm-hmm. The common denominator with all of these is that they're believers in Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a common goal to see people, lives change. Now, you mentioned this earlier, and I loved, go back, if you will, Daryl, to that statement about the purpose of the table, what you want to see happen, how lives can be changed.
Well, we mentioned that, you know, we're changing lives through sharing meals together. And I think the beauty of that, the way that lives change, is we want to build a relationship first. Sitting down at a table, you're your real self, eating food, you know,
yeah.
wiping your chin, whatever it might be. So there's an instant even plane. There's no us, there's no them when you're sitting at a table together. And every volunteer is encouraged to spend half of the night sitting at a table talking to somebody.
Wow.
You know, so that means if you cooked earlier or if you were at the serving line filling plates as people walk through and say what they want out of the dinner menu, and they start building relationship. And once you've built relationship on this equal plane, then people will tell you what their struggle is. Their struggle in faith, their struggle of not having faith, their struggle of sobriety or bill payment mm-hmm. or living conditions, because no one came trying to fix you. We have a little mantra that we learned through reading a book written by J.R. Briggs, and it's real ministry is meeting people where they are and walking with them where God would have them go.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And I think it is beautiful yeah. because, you know, more often than not, we might come in with an agenda. And here we're only coming in with Jesus.
Let's hold that thought. We've got another break. This is Afternoons with Mike. We'll be right back.
Join host Mike Gilland for The Shepherd at Work every Saturday morning at 10:05 a.m. You will be introduced to a marketplace leader that will help you learn to walk out your faith wherever you live and work. The Shepherd at Work is sponsored by the Central Florida Christian Chamber, building kingdom, business, and community throughout our area. That's The Shepherd at Work, this Saturday morning at 10:05 a.m.
My guest today here on the studio is Daryl and Marilyn Copenhaver. And at the end of the last segment, we were talking about this incredible quote from J.R. Briggs. And I love that. It's meeting people where they are. Go ahead and finish telling us that again.
Yeah. So meeting people where they are and going with them where God would have them go.
That kind of walking hand in hand with somebody, that seems to be a really rare thing that to find outside of the community of faith. Now, I know that there are some people that would argue with that. I've met people, you know, you were a Gator. You mentioned that earlier up in Gainesville. I've had the opportunity up there as well as down here to talk with people that would really take issue that all of my tendency is all good things, which is the biblical tendency, by the way, all good things come down from the Father of Light. I believe that anything that is good, that is really good, it's good because it is from God. I don't think good exists outside of God. But some people will argue that, and they'll act like, no, I care. And I've met people who are not believers that had that that trait of kindness about them. But it's different when that kindness is the Lord and that kindness is present because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's really what you're talking about. It's meeting people where they are and then choosing to walk with them to where God wants them to be. That is such a beautifully stated quote. That's discipleship, basically.
Yeah, it really is discipleship. I think there's no higher honor in serving Christ than being to walk through the dusty path with somebody else.
I agree. And that dusty path, sometimes the dust gets on you because you're walking with them. That happens.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's a lot of times where, I guess maybe your heart gets dusty, right? Because the relationship is built and you ache. A couple years ago, one of our volunteers asked me this question and said, made the statement, you must sleep really well at night knowing what good you do. And I thought about it for a minute. I said, no, I wake up in the middle of the night praying about the people that we haven't gotten to next.
That's well said.
And Meryl and I talk about that is, in our times together is the agony of someone we want to see, want to make that next step.
Mm-hmm.
And we're waiting patiently for them to say, I'm ready to go to detox, or I'm ready to talk about this faith step, or, I'm ready to go to work, whatever it might be.
I think friends that are listening, I think the difference between what Daryl and Marilyn are doing, it's not just a food program again. It's not just feeding the homeless, although there are some homeless people that will come and avail of the free food. This is really an opportunity to bring all people together, those that maybe you work with, those that maybe you live near, those maybe that God has placed in your heart and in your life, but they need the truth and the power of the gospel. This sounds like a real innocuous way, real easy way to bring them in. So hospitality, Marilyn, is defined as the love of strangers. So I'm betting that people don't stay like they're strangers long in that setting, right?
No, it's said that strangers are friends you haven't met yet. And
love that.
That's how we are at the table. Everyone's welcome. We introduce ourselves quickly, give them the ropes. This is where the drinks are. This is where the serving line is. And by the way, dessert's going to be served to you at your table in a little bit. So we try to practice radical hospitality and enjoy loving on people, sharing the love and grace of Jesus at every opportunity.
Now, what about the people that are serving? I'm betting that they are affected more than anybody else in the room.
They often tell us that. Our volunteers are amazing, first of all. They give sacrificially of their time and their resources, and many of them say that they go home blessed more than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And many of our folks that come to the table have said, I started coming here because of the free food, and the food really is delicious, but I continue coming because of the people.
Yeah. And that kind of fellowship, again, is rare in America without it being tied to something like this, the heart of God and the people of God coming together. Are there other churches and church leaders that take part as well with you?
Well, there are our volunteers represent a number of different churches. Occasionally, we have church leaders join in with us. We have some area congregations that give us donations of one sort of or another. One church provides Lynx bus passes for us, so we can share those with folks that are going to a medical appointment or a job interview or need some transportation help. And others have donated food items to us, mm-hmm. or clothing items, or just any number of things.
That's great. And this is something, again, anyone that is a believer, they can contact you at the table. And what is the website for this, by the way?
The website is thetableflorida.org.
Thetableflorida.org. And people can go. And I know that, again, it's open. It's a free community dinner. So if you're listening, friends, and you want to go out and check, you can go this Thursday at 6 o'clock. And again, that address, 4763 North Palmetto Avenue in Winter Park, Florida. And I love the, again, that little phrase is, at the table, we eat abundantly, share our hearts, and love like Jesus. Now, we've mentioned, we've got this hour. It's really kind of hard for me to kind of conceive all that is packed into that 1 hour. But you said when people come, they sit down, they're served rather immediately, I would imagine, right?
We have a serving line. So for the dinner, they come, right at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
We open up the serving line and folks come through and get their meals, sit down wherever they want.
Music is going on already in the background.
Music's going on. And then about 6:20, 6:25, our speaker will share. We may have a few announcements. We do have an offering box and prayer box, and so that's pointed out to everybody. And then the speaker shares for about 7 to 10 minutes, and then the discussion happens after that. And that's when the dessert is served to the table.
Okay.
Homemade desserts. And then folks hang out. They're welcome to get seconds if they're still hungry. Chatting. Sometimes people don't get there till 6:30, 6:45 or later because they've just gotten off work or transportation issues. So we serve up until 7 o'clock, and folks are. We rent the space, so we do have to.
You have an end time.
We do have an end time. We don't push people out, but at 7 o'clock we have to start resetting the room. And close the doors at 7:30.
Okay.
But a lot of times conversations continue outside.
Right.
And relationships go on during the week. So we may just meet for an hour on Thursdays, but the relationships, friendships, the tangible help goes on all throughout the week.
This sounds like a real ministry of being a fire starter. You know, you think about kindling in a fire. When you're trying to build either on camp setting or even in your fireplace at home, it's so helpful to have that kindling. It's easy, it's quick to get it blazing, and then that kind of gives you the basis for the fire. That's what the table sounds like.
Yeah, it really is that, you know, the relationships get built, that fire of relationship gets built over easy things. And, I wanted to mention one thing that jumped in my mind as Marilyn was talking about, you know, the dinner and all that. And how people really like it. But last year, one of the meals we serve, one gentleman does not like our fish dinner, which we only do a couple times a year. And he had made it very vocal comment on our Facebook page. Actually, it was like, boo fish, right? He's a great guy. And I thought, oh, well, you know, I won't see this gentleman tonight. He shows up with a microwave meal.
Oh, he came bringing his own food.
And he said, hey, can I go heat up my food when it's time for dinner? Because I don't want to miss being here.
Wow.
Right. So it vaulted, right, that where, you know, sometimes you think someone is just there for a meal.
Yeah.
But he made the point that I don't think he was understanding he was making.
Yeah.
That his connection and relationship was actually much more important than the food.
Wow.
And I think that's true for the vast majority of people who come.
Now, I want to give some time to find out how it is that you guys do this ministry. We know that all the food, I know you said it's donated or...
Well, actually, finances come to us. We buy fresh food every week.
So how do you fund the table?
Individuals. And there is... through the grace of God, since day one, the amount of money that we've needed each week and each month to pay rent, to buy all the ingredients and to cook has shown up.
Wow. No fundraisers?
You know, we had our first Giving Thursday last year. That was our very first fundraiser.
And okay.
We set a modest goal of 1 month's expenses.
Mm-hmm.
God raised 4 months' expenses.
Wow. That's wonderful.
Right. And literally it was, we put a couple posts on our Facebook page and we sent some emails out and we had a little peer-to-peer campaign on our online fundraising platform. And we were overwhelmed.
That is something. You know, this is such a beautiful concept, one that I've never heard of, just the way you're doing it. And especially, it seems like you guys are maxing out 60 minutes in a way that I don't think I've ever heard before. I mean, you're talking about being efficient. So you also have a resource table?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Marilyn, you want to talk about that?
This started probably about 6 months after we began the table. A member of the community came up and said, you know, I've been cleaning out some drawers at home and I've got some sweaters that I would like to pass on. And I think maybe there's some folks here that could use them. Could I bring them? And we said, sure, that table back there in the corner next week, bring them, set them out, and we'll see what happens. She brought them the next week. They were gone. Other people started bringing donations. Before we knew it, we had outgrown that table in the corner, and to date, we have given over 3,000 pieces of clothing, maybe 4,000, and it has grown to tents, sleeping bags, flashlights, batteries, hygiene kits, first aid kits, just all sorts of items that folks will say, I don't need this anymore, could you use it? And we'll take it.
You give it away.
We give it away. We've been donated all sorts of things. And so much so that we outgrew our little storage unit.
Mm-hmm.
And a local businessman gave us space in his warehouse.
Oh, that's
to
wonderful.
To store and sort. And so we have a whole resource table team that takes care of the donations and getting them to and from the table every week. So now we have the resource table outside, and it's about four tables worth now.
Wow. And again, people that come, if they have a need, they can just take it, and it's free of charge.
Yep. Or if they have something to donate, they just hand it there and it gets passed along.
Sounds so good. Tell us, if you will, Daryl, one more time, the web address for how people can find out.
All right. We're at the table. Florida.org.
All right. Daryl and Marilyn Copenhaver, thank you for being here, telling us about this marvelous ministry. I'm sure that this is going to be something that I'll be checking out real soon. And I can't wait. Best wishes to you. God bless you for what you're doing. And thank you for being here on the program.
And thank you, Mike.
Thank you. We are blessed. Thank you.
Wonderful. And friends, that's all of our time for today. We'll see you next time right here on The Shepherd.